This morning's reading is from Colossians chapter 1. It can be found on page 1182 of the Church Bibles, and it's from verse 15. The supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the word of the Lord.
June each year sees the issue of two hugely important publications. The first is the fixture list for the coming football season. Some of you may be with me on this one, but others may be simply bewildered. If football is enough of a mystery to you, then the idea that somebody would get excited about even knowing who's playing who and when will certainly be a mystery. The other publication is more sort of local news than national news, and it's the Holy Trinity Preaching Rota for the second 6 months of the year. It would probably be unwise of me to let you know which causes more excitement for me. I'll leave you to speculate on that one. But when I looked down this rota and saw the passage that was down for this morning, it was difficult not to have a sense of anticipation. Jesus is King is our title for today, or as the New International Version, our Bibles, our Church Bibles, heads it, the supremacy of Christ. So let's just stop briefly and pray before I go any further. Lord, thank you for this wonderful passage and for what we learn about you in it. And we pray, Lord, that its truths will burn our hearts all the more warmly and deeply this morning as we reflect together now. In your name we pray. Amen. So last week we began a series of talks on the book of Colossians, and we'll have a break over the summer period and pick up again when we get to the autumn. And last week Olwyn gave us a helpful introduction around how this letter arose. And he explained that the church that Paul's writing to here is a young church, probably only 5 years old. And because it's young, it's vulnerable. Vulnerable particularly to false teaching. And there was a recognition around in that day that Jesus was an important figure. But there were also lots of other groups that would draw people's attention, pagan cults, other forms of worship. And the teaching that was being held by some was that all these different things were equally valid. And Paul wanted, I think, this young church to be in absolutely no doubt that Jesus was the one who is supreme. So what's your view of Jesus? A great teacher, a prophet maybe, a founder of a major world religion, a healer and worker of miracles, a great man. All those things are true, and the man and the woman in the street, many of them, would sign up to those truths as well. But they're only really part, an immensely small part of a much bigger picture. Paul, in this passage today, is exploding this idea that Jesus is just a good man, a special man. And he paints a picture that goes far beyond a human understanding of what Jesus is like. And he paints this amazing picture in cosmic terms, not just in worldly terms, of who Jesus is and what he's like. And there's probably no other passage in the whole of the New Testament that points us to Jesus and his deity. He is supreme in relation to God, in relation to creation, in relation to his church. And the staggering truths that we've heard about this morning have huge implications. So what does Paul tell us about Jesus? First of all, he talks about him in relation to God. We read in that first verse there, in verse 15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. An image is something that you can see. Invisibility, by definition, is something that you can't see. And early in his gospel, John said this: no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. John is clear that God the Father and God the Son are different persons, but that in the Son we see God in all his glory. Jesus himself said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I don't know if you picked it up in this morning's bulletin, but Niku has produced another wonderful set of devotions for us to follow over the summer period. And I picked up on one of the quotes in those notes. There's an author and lay minister called S.D. Gordon who said this: Jesus is God spelling himself out in language that men can understand. It's a wonderful way of capturing what Jesus was doing. God isn't distant, unknowable, impersonal. He's close and very personal. And we have the amazing privilege of sharing in that through a relationship with Jesus. So what do we read about Jesus in relation to creation? Jesus is the firstborn over all creation, the one in whom all things hold together. Jesus is the creator. Jesus is the sustainer. couple of Christmases ago, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal entitled "Science Increasingly Makes the Case for God." And it explained how spectacularly unlikely it is that we exist, that we exist. Today, there are more than 200 known parameters necessary for a planet to support life, every single one of which must be perfectly met, or the whole thing falls apart. Yet, here we are, not only existing, but talking about existing. What can account for it? Can every one of those many parameters have been perfect by accident? At what point is it fair to admit that science suggests that we cannot be the result of random forces? Doesn't assuming that an intelligence created these perfect conditions require far less faith than believing that a life-sustaining Earth just happened to beat the inconceivable odds to come into being? You probably remember words that we are reminded of each Christmas in our carol service from John's Gospel. Through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Paul tells us this morning effectively that Jesus, our Saviour, is both the clockmaker who created the timepiece and the one who continually keeps that timepiece literally ticking over. So thirdly, Jesus in relation to the church. Simply, Jesus is the head of the church. This means he's both inseparably connected to the body, but he also has authority over it. He both acts within his church and reveals himself through his church. And just as a body is powerless and dead without a head, so the church is powerless and dead without Jesus as its head. A body receives its direction, its impulses from the head. So likewise, the church should, in every action, in everything it does, be governed, directed, and empowered by its head. We see this morning an absolutely wonderful picture of just who Jesus is. And in the light of that, isn't it a huge privilege that we should be part of his body, the church, that shares in his work, in his ministry? Isn't it staggering that despite all our failings and imperfections, Jesus still wants us to be part of that, to work with him and for him, to be useful to him and used by him? So we have this morning an amazing picture of Jesus and who he is. Jesus is supreme. John Piper said this: "Would you want to watch a football game where all the players were no better than you? Or watch a movie where the actors could act no better than you and were no better looking than you? Or go to a museum to see pictures by painters who could paint no better than you?" That would be my really scary one. Why are we willing to be exposed in all these places as utterly inferior. How can we get so much joy out of watching people magnify their superiority over us? The biblical answer is that we were made by God to get our deepest joys not from being superior ourselves, but from enjoying God's superiority. All these other experiences are parables. God's superiority is absolute in every way, which means our joy in it may be greater than we could ever imagine. Less than a month ago, the United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union. And while some of the events and decisions that have come about since then have been things that we might have seen as predictable, many have been unexpected, extraordinary, and I think almost unbelievable. So much of our political life is in turmoil, and I think we've been left wondering quite what can happen next. And even as I was thinking about this in the past week, in the last 3 days, we have the terrible events happening in Nice and then the attempted coup in Turkey. But in a sense, I think that's a humbling reminder to us that we're not as in control of our circumstances as we might like to think we are. Our focus this morning should be, in a really positive sense, a helpful reminder, a helpful opportunity to refocus on what and who is really important. There is a bigger picture than what we see going on immediately around us. And I was drawn again this week to one of the prayers from the old prayer book. Almighty God, give us grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that in all the changes and chances of this uncertain world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found. Life is uncertain. It's unpredictable, whether we like it or not. But Jesus is certain. He is constant. He is unchanging. So much greater than our fleeting circumstances. I think the challenge this morning when we read a passage like this is that we just get as far as giving it a polite nod and saying, yes, that's great, I see what it says here. But to really know these truths, it has to go beyond intellectual assent, beyond head knowledge. It has to be about the heart as well. We have to be so captivated, so overwhelmed by what we read here, that it has a genuine and significant impact on the way that we live, the way that we think, the things that we do, our priorities. What we've read about this morning are absolutely mind-blowing truths. And they do take time to absorb. And somehow within the busyness of our world, we do need to find time to give ourselves the space to do just that. The psalmist said very familiar words to us, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. We must carve out the time to take that truth on board. And in a small measure, I'm going to give us a few minutes this morning to do that. Can I suggest you keep the passage open in front of you? If you haven't got a Bible and would like one, then wave a hand and someone will bring one in your direction. But I want us just to spend a few minutes together quietly reading that passage and reflecting on those extraordinary words. My desire, my prayer this morning is that they move from words on the page to warmth in our hearts. And maybe as you sit there and reflect on those words, think, what difference should these truths make to my life? How I spend my time, how I set my priorities, how I parent my children, how I do my job. And maybe if you've never placed your trust in this supreme Saviour, then maybe today is the time to take him and take all that he gives on board. I know for some people silence is not necessarily the most comfortable experience, but pray that God will use these few minutes together to burn these truths into your heart, to warm you and to change you. So let's be quiet together. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, Lord, now and forever. Amen.